Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I wouldn't touch the Patriots with a 10-foot pole.
What now?
The team isn't very good anymore.
Good plays are good, and plays that aren't so good aren't so good.
Dale Arnold.
Tim, you reached that out, right?
Yes, sir.
I think you got in.
I did.
That's a touchdown.
That holding!
Yeah, he tackles on it. Come on, man.
Rich Keefe.
Here's what's cool. Being yourself and being cool with yourself.
Stop talking when I'm talking! Shut up!
Chill with the bad talk.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Got a big nut under there?
Mom's spaghetti, as Eminem would say.
He would
right
say.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keefe. Sports Radio WEEI. Our buddy Andy Hart, WEEI.com, is in the house with us. And fellas, as we approach the November 3rd trade deadline, which is a week from next Tuesday, we've had another pretty big deal in the NFL today. The Minnesota Vikings and Ravens have finalized a deal to send defensive end Yannick Ngakoue to Baltimore for a 2021 third-round pick and a 2022 conditional fifth-round pick. Now, to put it in perspective, when they acquired Ngakoue from Jacksonville, they gave up a second and a conditional fifth to get him. They just got a third and a conditional fifth to get rid of him. But it sort of indicates to me that if you're looking for wide receiving help, the Minnesota Vikings have just put up the for sale sign.
You know what that means? I mentioned Adam Thielen a while ago. Go in there and get him. Go ahead and pick up the phone, Bill. Give him a call. Now, I don't know if they would want to do that. They already traded Diggs, but they did draft Justin Jefferson, who's been a great, great, great rookie for them.
Putting up Moss-like numbers for them.
Although I feel like, you know, if you have one receiver, you always then want the second receiver. So why would you necessarily trade him away? But the Vikings are, 1-5 after they just lost to Chicago?
They are sell.
Oh, no, they lost to Atlanta, excuse me. And, yeah, Atlanta was winless. They were horrible. Kirk Cousins looked like he should get benched in that game until the end. Now they're giving away a pretty good pass rusher who's already got 5 sacks on the season. And this also goes back to Andy's point about Le'Veon Bell going to the Chiefs and Ngakoue going to the Ravens, buzz about Brown going to a contender.
Super Bowl title gets further and further away from the Patriots.
And those teams are all loading up, and they're competing against each other, and it does seem like the Patriots are kind of on the outside of that.
I mean, look at the three teams in the AFC. The Chiefs, even though they haven't played great and people are like, oh, what's going on with them?
It's still the Chiefs. I think it's still the Chiefs.
They were still the best team in the AFC before they got Le'Veon Bell.
And they added a weapon, right?
Yep.
And then the Ravens just added a very good defensive player, and the Titans are playing just good football.
Titans are nice.
So there's three teams
They all have the antibodies.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
The entire team is safe now.
They get to practice anytime they want.
That's right.
So the bottom line here is you're probably falling further behind the haves in the AFC, right?
Right. Which is
right now.
This gives me even more reason to say they should approach this with a more of a long-term trade deadline view than...
So, in other words, sell.
No. Buy. But buy for the future. Buy. Get into the off-season acquisition phase now.
But if you're
Guys that could be cut. Get guys that are going to be cap casualties, teams that are rethinking their whole financial landscape and future. be there, be opportunistic, and get guys that aren't rentals, get guys that are long-term pieces like, to build around.
Like Mohamed Sanu.
That is not the example I would use.
I got a name for you.
Aqib Talib would be the example I would use. You acquired him at a trade deadline, and he was around for a while as a key part of your back end. Look for players like that.
So Kenny Golladay is not on a long-term deal, but I wonder if you could then sign him to a long-term deal. I think he's on the last year of his rookie deal.
And I wouldn't give up a first-round pick unless I could.
Unless you could, but if you could, I would. Right, if you say,
you
hey,
would give up a first round pick for Golladay,
assuming I sign him to an extension.
I don't know that I would.
I think he's a number one receiver.
I absolutely wouldn't give up a first round pick to rent him.
Yeah, oh, no.
Mm-mm.
And he's definitely this team's number one receiver.
I think he would be half the league. He'd be the number one receiver.
That's where I call you on that and say, go ahead.
How many guys? He's a top 16 receiver. Don't make me list him off. He's top 16. That's half the league. Sean, you got a name for me?
I do. Speaking of the Minnesota Vikings, not a receiver, but one of the best players
Shime,
at his position
to find
in the
a receiver
league.
Here? What's it
Anthony
you?
Barr.
Eric Kendricks, one of the best cover linebackers in all of football.
That meets
he
my
has
needs.
3 years left on this contract. Cap hit would be 12.5, 13.5, 11.5.
Was he the guy that was in prison for...
No, that's his brother, Michael Kendricks.
Sorry, all right.
Eric Kendricks hates the Jets, too, so he'd fit right in New England.
I would take Eric Kendricks in a hot second. I would pick up the phone right there and bring him in. That would meet one of my two needs to make this push this team.
One of two
over
needs?
The top. They have, I mean, realistically, you're probably only got a couple of guys. You can't get six new players by the deadline.
That's my point. That's why I don't think they have a great chance.
All right, you're down on the pit. You and Teddy Bruschi are down on the path.
It's like there's two holes in the diagonal. There's another one over here, and I use a toe. And then what am I doing?
Yeah, but
here?
If you filled two needs, if you got a wide receiver, and we're just playing the game here. If you got Adam Thielen and Kendricks, I mean, you filled two big holes, right?
You're the best team in the division by far. If you got those,
isn't
two
guys. Very good anymore
by far.
Yeah,
I'm not
if
willing
you
to
got
say
those
that.
Two, yeah. I'm not. You guys like the Bills more than I do. I'm not big on the Bills.
No, I like the Patriots less than you do.
That's also true. The sweet combination of the
I think
both.
You think Josh Allen stinks and that Cam Newton is better. Is Cam Newton better than Josh Allen?
He has not been.
Okay.
He has not been this
No,
this
I don't care about Ben. Who's better moving forward?
Right now?
Like, your quarterback is, and you only get to pick one of the two. Who's better, Cam Newton or Josh Allen?
I guess Josh Allen. Now, he also has Stephon Diggs, which I think would make Cam Newton look a lot better.
So Adam Thielen would make Cam Newton look better.
Yes,
he would. Got him or Golladay or whatever.
So you don't
necessarily think it's a Cam Newton issue. It's a weapons issue. We're back to last year. It's a weapons.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it because I think we'd be saying the same thing about Tom Brady. Now, Tom Brady wouldn't be throwing for 150 yards every game, but it wouldn't look great. If Tom Brady was here right now, I don't think they'd be lighting the scoreboard up.
Wasn't the story about Cam is he's perfect for this team because he's used to not having weapons. This is what he does.
Yes.
He puts an offense on his back and he carries it.
That is true.
Well, has he carried?
He has not carried. Well, Miami game, he was the star of that game, wasn't he?
Wiggy made the point earlier in the week that if Tom Brady were the quarterback for the Patriots, they would be 1-4.
See, I don't agree with that.
He said they'd have lost the Miami game if Brady was the quarterback. Now
it would have looked a lot different, and maybe it's losable.
But Tom Brady could throw the ball.
Yeah, I don't think they lose to Denver, though.
I hate to back on history, but I never saw Tom Brady with a losing record at this point. Like he always found a way. You gave him chicken you-know-what, whether it was Richie Caldwell or whatever. Like he found a way, right? He always found a way.
He did always find a way. Now, this is a year where you had Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes in your first four games. That's
right.
That hasn't always been the case.
Like this week's example, I don't know that the wheels fall off without practice because maybe Edelman, Brady, and company just say,
they don't need as much practice with Brady.
Do what we did five years ago against this team and we'll be fine. Like they had more to fall back on. So I find it hard to believe that you would, even though theoretically, it makes sense. You don't have great weapons, so Tom Brady is beholden to his weapons. He's a pocket passer. He needs guys to throw to.
Yeah, but they'd be 3-2 at best, two or the same.
Oh yeah,
that's right. I mean,
I got them at 3-2.
Yeah, okay. I'm not gonna fight you.
No,
on that.
They absolutely win the Denver game.
That's how I look.
Brady's
that's
the quarter.
Yep. They do.
They but lose the others, and
I think
win the
Miami
game.
Game's more of a toss up, though.
No,
the two losses are the two losses, and they beat Oakland or Vegas, no matter what. Miami game is a little bit more of a toss-up, probably.
Nah, Tom Brady doesn't lose to the Dolphins on opening day.
So who's he throwing to?
Get back to me. You know how I'm getting back to you on the AFC title game?
By the way,
he might have beat Seattle, too, Brady.
Nah. No way.
Nah.
No chance.
That pass defense? I mean, they made Cam Newton look like he could throw the ball.
I know. So was he going to throw for more than 400 yards?
Probably.
I doubt it.
He's thrown for five Bills before.
I know. But with these receivers, I think Cam kind of maxed that out.
These receivers?
The defense gave up 35
points. Julian Edelman.
Yeah, he was
that was
that
the
week.
Julian Edelman day.
Yeah. Who, by the way, Andy, I think is on the last stand here.
Yes, it's kind of sad.
Unfortunately, it's true.
We, again, another thing I would say we kind of saw coming. Remember we talked about 34 years old, and like the most catches was Larry Fitzgerald. It was the last year of this guy's career. It was the last product. And you already had Wes Welker dead and buried by 34. Mm-hmm. So it was predictable, and I do think he's dealing with things.
But Welker was having a great year in Denver until he got the really bad concussion. He actually set a career high for himself in touchdowns. Like, he wasn't done.
No.
Then it was the concussion.
But it comes fast.
Yeah, no, it
and maybe it came fast. Like, remember the Edelman, was it the Seattle game? He took the hit in the back of the head and got up weird.
Yeah, like, well, he always gets up squinting. And yeah, like,
well, the one eye is, he looks like
He looks like a guy who's been concussed too many times.
Yes,
and he sounds like a guy who's been concussed too many times. Listen to audio of him now as compared to audio of him 5, 6, 7 years ago, he sounds like a different guy.
I would agree.
Yeah, it's the scary part of football, really. You know,
it's
people
the part
like to,
you don't
people,
really want to talk about.
No, you don't. You just want to kind of, hey, what a catch.
And I think he's the same way. I don't think he really wants to talk about it. I think he wants to keep chugging. I play football. It's what I do.
I think he'll play for as many years as
until
he
they tell
can.
Him he can't.
Correct.
Oh, I think he'll be asked to not play very soon. I mean, Welker, he went to the Rams that last ditch effort, I think he had.
Yeah, was it?
And then he was gone. I think this could be the last year for Edelman here. It wouldn't stun me. And then,
would you be stunned if Bill traded him?
That's been a big thing this week. A lot of people want to drum up the trade him to Tampa. He's not trading him to Tampa.
No, he's
I can't
not.
Imagine he. Even if he thinks Edelman is toast, I can't envision.
And even
him,
if he would trade him, it wouldn't be there.
No, I can't envision him risking that. Like, he clicks the game on the next week. Brady's got 10 effing passes to Edelman. You got to be crapping. Like,
and he and Gronk are jumping up and down the end zone. He's not having that.
And then you know what he'd immediately tell us? The next slot receiver they played was the best slot receiver that's ever played the game.
Anybody that I've ever coached.
Right. Better than anybody I've coached.
Cole Beasley's fine.
Right. He's not that good, Bill.
He's going nuts. But, I mean, to your question, like, would you be shocked? The answer should be no.
No.
Like, no player should shock
you
that Bill
trades. We've seen him deal, you know, pretty big names here.
But I'll tell you what, I think I would be. If I saw Adam Schefter tweet out Julian Edelman has been traded, I would be.
But you'd
be
immediately
shouldn't be,
not shocked. Like, you'd be stunned. Like, it would be take your breath away. Like, it's like real? When you know it's cold out and that gust of wind takes your breath away, but you're like, I did dress. I knew it was cold, but it was still more than I expected.
Yeah.
You would immediately not be surprised because we've seen it so many times.
But at that point, Dale.
Jamie Collins?
I'm letting everybody go. I'm owning the 2020 draft. At that
are you buyers or sellers? If they lose the game this Sunday, I think he's got to consider seriously being a seller.
So I know this is kind
what
of
do
just,
you sell?
I know this is kind of pushing it down the road just a little bit more, but the following week when you play the Bills, that to me is the head-to-head game. It could come down to a tiebreaker. That's really the game, and that happens
But that only gives you like 2 days to get stuff
but
done.
But fine, but I think you know way more about your team at that point too. Now, obviously a loss to the Niners, you're 2-4, that's brutal, but the head-to-head with the Bills is everything. And that, again, the two games against the Bills will decide the division.
Right, everybody's holding out hope. Well, if you sweep the Bills games, you got a chance. And if you lose one of those, then it's like, well, what if we split the Bills game?
No, I know. It's not as good. But so that would be my only reason to say.
But what can you sell?
Well, Edelman is one.
Okay, Gilmore.
Gilmore.
I would agree with Gilmore.
Absolutely.
Gilmore, Edelman.
Edelman, I don't know the value. I mean, I think other people see what we see.
Rex Burkhead. Mm-hmm.
Joe Tooney.
Joe Tooney on a prorated franchise tag for a team that's been decimated.
Solidify
like,
somebody's
the Raiders had to send their whole O-line home from
they did.
Because Trent Brown.
All five starting offensive linemen.
Did you see?
And Carr's like, we'll be fine. We have other guys that'll play. You will not be fine.
Did you see?
You're porked.
Trent Brown's tattoo, by the way? Barstool Big Cat zoomed in on
it. I missed it.
John saw it. He's already smiling.
I did see it, yeah.
This is a real tattoo he has on his arm.
There's a threesome going on, I believe, on his arm.
Correct. I believe there's a sexual act being performed on somebody. Like, on his arm, a tattoo.
Vulgar, or is it Kama Sutra? Like,
no, it's kind of like remember Big
no, it's
Johnson's,
pretty like
remember Big Johnson's t-shirts like
the wax or whatever.
No, they were. I don't
I thought
know
it
what
was
they were.
Big Johnson's board wax or something.
Oh, it might have been, but they have like cartoonish kind of characters. It's sort of in
a
that
little
vein.
Menage a trois.
It is. But I'm like, what is that? And it's huge because Trent Brown's the biggest guy in the world.
Did he have it?
It's
when
on.
He was
it's on his bicep.
It's on his bicep. So. The picture that Adam Schefter tweeted out was Trent Brown sent home or whatever, and then it's like him in a Raiders uniform, and then Big Cat zoomed in on it. I'd never seen it before.
This is remarkable.
Isn't it insane?
Did he have it when he was here?
Can you tweet that from Dale's
WEEI? I believe
he is that like a TOS thing? I don't know.
I don't know. Like, that is... That's insane to me that he has that as a tattoo.
Because I believe he also has a Buddha on his belly, but they share the belly.
But like the football Buddha player who's got the two young ladies does have his helmet on.
Yeah, so protection. That's good. Well, yeah.
Protection, Dan.
He's got a mask on. It's COVID season. So
no, I had not seen it until just now.
What do you think of that?
No, I have to see it.
I think it's a little weird.
I think so too. I couldn't believe.
Where do I find this?
Are we not tweeting it out? Or we are? At Dale Keefe, WEEI.
We're looking for a suitable picture to tweet.
No. Just retweet the Schefter one, because Schefter put it out there.
Don't tell us how to do our
jobs. Well, you guys are scrambling around out there. Wow. So I just want to, you know, get it out there so people can
find
it.
Yeah, we were trying to be a little more creative than that, but okay, we can do that.
Whatever.
Is that supposedly him with the helmet on, I assume?
I would. Would you get a tattoo of somebody else getting that done to them, Dale?
But I wouldn't get a tattoo with this guy with two other women doing what they're doing either.
I wouldn't either. But that really was something else. Let's just say that
it looks like it's unfinished. He's still got some work to do.
He could.
I love the nice touch of the Illuminati eye underneath it all.
Let's just say the photo blew me away. That's all I'm going to say.
This is right on, like, there are photos in the USA Today vault that, like, media outlets use. I'm looking at one right now, and it's right there on his arm.
I never, ever noticed it. He played here for a whole year.
The picture I'm looking at, it's at Gillette Stadium. Because he's standing in his locker stall, and over his shoulder you can see Gillette printed on the locker stall. So he had it here, but it wasn't done. My guess is there's a newer version of this that's a little more fit. Like one of these young ladies.
Yes.
Her face doesn't seem to be finished yet. Like there's still some
you're
stuff.
You're really delving deep into this, Dale.
I won't.
She's wearing number 77 on her jersey.
That's his number. That's his number. Must be a fan.
I think he's just like, you are just worshiping yourself so much with this tattoo.
I'm not going to tattoo shame anybody, but it doesn't look like it's the greatest piece of artwork either.
No.
Like, I feel like you could be a little bit
like a prison
more,
tattoo
it's,
or something.
You know
something,
who it is? Huh? It's the Greek god Atlas, because he's holding up Earth.
Oh, it just Atlas. Has a football helmet on, and it happens to be
what's
his
happening
attempt to make it him.
What's happening to Atlas, though? In the photo,
he's having.
I can't imagine that you could maintain holding the Earth as that's happening, right?
He's having quite an encounter, I would say.
Well, I think maybe he's like still able to do his job despite the distractions.
He had it here because this picture I'm looking at, he's standing at his stall in Gillette Stadium.
I mean, I'm not trying to tell the beat writers how to do their jobs, but how come I never heard about this?
I want to say he might have talked about it. I don't know if it was this one. I remember him saying he liked things that got reactions.
That gets reactions.
This would do it.
Easy.
We lost Dale from the show.
Jeez.
Dale's gone. This would get you some reaction.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yes, Dale.
But anyway, circling back to what we're talking about.
It's not him. The guy is like in shape.
Oh, please. Maybe that's how he views himself.
Fat shaming Andy,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, that's unreal. Huh. Maybe he views
the truth
himself
is never mean. He is a large man.
He views himself that way. But okay, going back to the Patriots selling guys off, Joe Tooney would be one. Like, are they going to re-sign him? Probably not. Michael Onwenu looks like he's a pretty damn good player, and he's not nearly the price. So, I know Shaq Mason's the one that's under contract, but you could see a team looking at the Patriots O-line, be like, hey, we'll take one of these guys, or we could take your corner, we could take your receiver just for the final eight games.
Sonny Michel.
James White's a free agent. I wouldn't necessarily
I'd
want
like
to trade
back.
Him. I would, too, and I think he will be back because the running backs are loaded.
How about Cam Newton?
I would trade him in a heartbeat.
I would not trade him, but also...
Well, no, if you were sellers, I would.
But what?
Because if you're sellers, you're not bringing him back.
Yeah, I know. But what playoff team would want Cam Newton?
Team that gets an injury.
Oh, okay. So, but as of right now, Tannehill, Mahomes, Jackson, Josh Allen.
Very sad Ryan Fitzpatrick in Miami.
How about him crying? Everybody's like
very sad.
Yeah, very weird.
Isn't it weird? Because the story the day before was the perfect mentor, the perfect guy to pass the torch. He's still going to be the best assistant coach on the roster. And then they ask him about it. He's like, yeah, I was heartbroken and I had a cry.
And my heart just hurt all day. Like it was heartbreaking for me.
Does that sound like a guy who's going to be out there giving Tua all these tips?
No. Well, I feel like.
No, I mean, maybe he ends up, pulling himself together, but it doesn't sound like it.
But you kind of agree with him,
it
right?
It broke my heart yesterday. And
you're 3-3. You're ahead of the Patriots in the
You've
East,
thrown for like 1,500 yards. And
you just, the game in which you got benched, you just smoked. I know it was the Jets, but you just went out there three three touchdowns. Like,
and
I don't get it.
And I think somebody posted this. Has anybody ever been benched coming off back-to-back 24-plus point performances in wins?
And it's just
to make a move now.
It's the
probably
bye.
Not.
But
no.
It's the bye. He should have seen this coming. If there was a potential, like, I should probably get past the bye with the starting job because he's a young guy.
Like, I guess give Flores credit for not having this leak out because this was clearly the decision the day they drafted him.
He was actually mad it did leak out this week, though. Did you see it? He was all worked up.
No, I didn't see that.
Because everybody found out via Adam Schefter, whoever reported it first.
Okay. Then he had to go and tell him.
Right, and he was mad, and he's like, I'm not happy about that, and that'll be dealt with internally or something like that.
Don't you think this is more a reaction for Fitzpatrick, though, to the mortality of his overall career? Because, like, he could be done starting, period, ever.
Yes. Fitzpatrick will start next year for somebody else.
Whoever has Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and we're going to be like, how is this guy on his 20th team?
He'll start for four games, and then going into the bye week, he'll get benched again.
Correct.
And he'll be heartbroken.
And he'll have a cry.
And he'll have a couple, like, 300-yard games in that span.
Like, what? How
he did it with Jameis.
Yep.
He did it now with Tua. Yeah. He's going to do it for Trevor Lawrence. 100%. It's the same thing all over again.
Yeah, you think he'd be used to it by now.
Fitzpatrick to Crowder next year.
Well, he's like, I haven't been bad yet. I know I usually get benched after I throw, like, five picks. I haven't been bad yet.
The magic is still cooking.
Yeah, what do you want?
It's magic. You heard of it? It's still rolling, baby.
By the way, I read an article yesterday, speaking of Trevor Lawrence, which suggested that if the Jets do Jets things and go like 0-16 like Rich thinks they would, that he may just go back to Clemson.
Yeah, was an ex-player that said
Roddy White
that. Yeah, Roddy White.
I don't think that's the craziest thing because believe it was, I could be wrong on the details, but Matt Leinart had an unbelievable junior year. Now, I know he ended up sucking, but just go back to when he was in college.
Yeah.
Unbelievable junior year. USC is awesome. San Francisco had the number one pick. And at that point, the Niners looked like they were a mess. He went back to school. Alex Smith was the number one pick. They took Smith over Aaron Rodgers. And then Matt Leinart went into the draft the next year, was lower in the draft, went to the Cardinals, and ended up fizzling out. But the story was he went back to school because he didn't want to go to San Francisco. Like, he was ready. He would have been the top quarterback taken that year.
But why wouldn't you just pull Eli Manning or an Elway?
I think that's more
like going back to get hurt or something.
No.
I'll sit the year out. I'll or at least threaten to, and you'll.
Yeah,
be
I think that's you're going to see less and less guys playing an extra year of college. Well, they're trying to play
and
as
especially
few games
with,
as possible.
You know, still the question marks about not just the pro game but the college game and. You know, when is the COVID thing going to be brought to
but also,
under rain?
Well, that's true. But there's also no way, I don't think, that Adam Gase will be the head coach.
No.
So I think
shocked he still is.
I know the franchise sucks, but if it's Eric Bieniemy or if it's, you know, a top college coach or somebody.
Josh McDaniel.
Or maybe him. Like, wouldn't you think Trevor Lawrence is like, yeah, I know it's the Jets, but I'm also the number one pick in the draft, so what do you expect?
Right.
You're not going to go to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I've never bought into that idea. I was even like the Browns for a while. But, you can't go to the Browns. You can't go to this. No, I'll go there and I'll win. Like,
right.
Confidence in yourself, confidence in whatever regime change is happening.
Yeah.
I think that's overblown a little bit. Unless he, like, doesn't want to go to New York. Maybe he hates the city. That could be an issue.
New York is back, baby!
But I'd also say if you go there and win, you're the star of New York. You're the star of the NFL.
Yeah.
And I would think he would have some confidence.
Look what it got Sam Darnold. He was kissing everybody.
That's true.
Well, you know, but look where Eric Mangini was. Remember when he was Mangenius? He was in Sopranos. Like, his career was taken off. And then, well, that just kind of petered out after that.
Not so much.
We'll talk to Peter King. We'll get his national perspective from NBC Sports and Football Morning in America. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Peter King of NBC Sports and Football Morning in America. Peter is brought to you by Town Fair Tire and by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details as we are getting Peter on the line here to talk to him. Get more of a national perspective as to what's happening or what the perception is about the Patriots from a national perspective because apparently we have turned on them around here. Well, Rich hasn't.
Rich hasn't. Not me.
He's
close. I'll go down with the ship.
No,
I'm going to be like the band playing on the Titanic.
Didn't you say check in this week?
Big game.
Or no, is it after the Bills game? I don't know when the check-in is.
Bills game, big game.
Let's bring Peter in. Hey, Peter, how are you?
What's up, Dale? How you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. After a disheartening loss to the Denver Broncos last weekend, has the national perspective about the Patriots changed somewhat?
I think so. I mean, look, as much as you wanted to believe in what New England was going to be after the Kansas City game because they played so well without Cam Newton. You just plug Cam Newton back in there and everything will be fine. I mean, the fact is there's still the issue of playmakers on offense, you know, which there really aren't many. or any, really. And then, you know, the fact that essentially Cam Newton didn't practice for a long time, you know, however many days it was quite a while. So, you know, you still have to realize that, you know, Cam Newton is basically in about his second and a half month of being the quarterback for the New England Patriots. He just, you know, as Belichick said the other day, we just have to practice. That's the biggest thing that I think is the biggest problem that they have right now. They just need to be together more. And especially that's true, Dale, when you see them doing throwback passes with Julian Edelman and doing all those, you know, the quirky things, you know that there's just nothing they can really trust on offense. So, you know, I think that, I think as much as any team in the league, this team needs three or four, you know, long, significant practices to try to figure out what it is they can do to be a competitive team in the NFL right now.
Well, similar to that, Peter, Teddy Bruschi said this isn't a good team anymore. And, you know, he kind of couched it and said that's maybe more what other players, like, you know, free agents might think trying to join the Patriots. Even with all, you know, getting back to a normal week of practice, you know, simply put, like, is this a good team still?
I mean, they got the same problems that they had since late last season, since all last season. You know, Tom Brady often was basically the deodorant that, and Josh McDaniels, they were the deodorant that essentially hid a lot of their offensive issues, and they have major offensive issues. Who on that offense right now, if you're a defensive coordinator going into the game, I mean, are there many teams in the NFL that have a worse set of skill players than the New England Patriots?
Nope. No.
Just look at it objectively. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this is the New York Giants, but it's close.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's nobody on that offense who you say, okay, DK Metcalf, go make a play. Or Derrick Henry, go make a play. There isn't one. And a lot of times, if you have a good, smart, accurate, experienced quarterback, and look, I think Cam Newton is all of those things, but he's just been on this team for 10 weeks. And, you know, and probably a week and a half of that was spent fighting COVID, you know? So I think everything, there's this confluence of events that essentially has really hurt this team right now. And the unfortunate part of it for them is that, you know, they got San Francisco, which appears to be riding the ship, and then they're at Buffalo, and you have those two games in an 8-day span. So, you know, I think it's really essential that, as Belichick said the other day, that they get some really good practice time in. So even if they lose these two games, that they start to get to know what they can rely on. And look, they still have the tonic of two games against the Jets. So, I mean, some is lost, all is not lost.
Given what you just said and the trading deadline is coming, I know it's more a baseball thing than NFL to say buyer or seller. Can you envision the Patriots unloading some veteran talent at the trade deadline?
The only way I could envision that is if they lose the next two games, if they lose the next two games in an ugly fashion. That's the only way I could really envision it. Trading deadline, I think, is November 3rd, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have it in front of me.
Yep, it is.
Yeah. If they play poorly in both these games, you know, lose by double digits or whatever in both these games, I think it's something you'd have to think about. But I guess that, you know, when you look at this, you ask yourself, you know, who actually would you like to trade? And who would you trade? I don't think you want to trade any of your young defensive talent, really. because that's going to be the key to next year. Presumably, when you get back Dante Hightower and you have a really good, solid defense coming back with some good young players. I mean, do you trade Jason McCourty for a five? I don't know. I mean, do you really want to do that? But again, I don't know what they'll do. I think every team in the league now every contending team is going to look at distressed franchises. Like the Baltimore Ravens today looked at the Minnesota Vikings and say, let's go get Yannick Ngakoue for a relative pittance. If you think about this, listen to what has happened to Yannick Ngakoue. The Ravens or the Jaguars wanted a 1+ for Yannick Ngakoue. Okay. And so now he basically has been valued or devalued at a 2+, and now weeks later at a 3+. And the Ravens 3 is probably going to be in the 90s, or it could well be in the 90s. So it's amazing. First of all, I think that's a great trade for Baltimore. But the reason that they were able to make a trade to get a guy who at his peak is a top 15 NFL defensive lineman, all right, they're able to do that because the Vikings are in seller's mode. They understand that it's not happening this year. And everybody knows that. So they're going to try to do the best they can for a guy who they didn't think was going to be there long term. I think it's a little bit different for the Patriots now, because I don't know that there's anybody who they can put out there right now, a young player with some significant value who they're going to want to trade.
We're talking to Peter King, NBC Sports and Football Morning in America. Pete Carroll acknowledged yesterday that they are, in fact, interested in at least kicking the tires for Antonio Brown when his suspension is up. The talent is so obvious for everybody. It was obvious when he was here. But what are the chances Antonio Brown could get signed by Seattle and, more importantly, finish out a season there?
Dale, I think Antonio Brown is going to get signed somewhere. And, I mean, I wrote this in September that I think Seattle's the leader in the clubhouse for him. There's a fascination in Seattle with Antonio Brown. And a lot of people would say, look, DK Metcalf is an absolute meteoric rising star. And their receiving core in general, Tyler Lockett is a good to very good NFL receiver. Why do they want Antonio Brown? Because I think what John Schneider looks at in this particular case is, you talk about distressed value. This guy, John Schneider can go and get him and basically tell him that, look, you got two strikes on you and Mariano Rivera is pitching to you. You can't afford strike three. And if there's anything even close to a strike three, you're not going to stay. So Antonio Brown right now has to know that it's not about, I mean, really, the last time he was on the field for a complete game, when he was a Steeler, 14 catches, 192 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Saints. And everybody knows that he can do that. But he'll also be told the only way he'll get signed by the Seahawks or a team like Baltimore or anybody is if he understands that one strike and you're out. I think Seattle is, as Adam Schefter reported this week, Seattle's very interested and could well sign him.
Peter, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, guys. See ya.
See ya.
Thanks, Peter
King, NBC Sports Football Morning in America. Yeah, Peter did write back in September that somebody would sign Antonio Brown, and he did write that Seattle would be the team that makes the most sense. Pete Carroll, after Adam Schefter's report yesterday, said, yeah, we're interested. Mm-hmm. He didn't even try to hide it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go all in, mm-hmm. right? I mean, sooner or later, you're going to have to acknowledge that you're interested. So,
yeah, I mean,
I think it's fun. I think
I do, too.
I don't have to deal with it. I'm not Pete Carroll. Right. I don't. Right. I'm not Russell Wilson. Maybe you're signing a deal with the devil if you're Russell Wilson. Maybe you've settled in. You like your passing game. Everything's cruising. Maybe this will blow up in your face. Mm-hmm. But it certainly is an athletic weapon that on paper makes you ridiculous.
I like points. I like high-scoring offenses, and when one of the best receivers in the league is just available and you could put him with the best quarterback or the second-best quarterback in the league, why not? I think, and the way that their defense is built right now, you're talking about just shootouts galore anyway.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart Sports Radio, WEEI.
More of Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
I got something you can plug right in.
Why are you the way that you are?
On WEEI.
Is this a good team still?
They got the same problems that they had since late last season, since all last season. Are there many teams in the NFL that have a worse set of skill players than the New England Patriots? I'm not saying this is the New York Giants, but it's close. Even if they lose these two games, that they start to get to know what they can rely on, they still have the tonic of two games against the Jets. I mean, some is lost, all is not lost.
Peter King joining us just a few minutes ago, and I'll add to this. He's talking about the Patriots having the worst set of skill position players in the NFL, and I think we both agree. We all three of us agree with that. Ian Rappaport just reported the Ravens plan to sign veteran wide receiver Dez Bryant to the practice squad if his workout goes well and he passes a physical. Baltimore previously worked out Bryant in August. This is more of a check-in. He should land in Baltimore finally. Probably an indication that either they're not interested in Antonio Brown or they already know that he's going to Seattle.
Right.
So let's go to plan B here. And it's easy to mock Dez Bryant. Wouldn't he easily be the best wide receiver on this team?
No.
I don't know what he is now.
He hasn't played since 17.
And then he blew out his, what was it, Achilles?
He was hurt. Yeah, yeah. He's coming back from a bad injury and he hasn't played.
Two bad injuries, I feel like.
I think you might be right.
So, yeah.
And he's going to be 32 next month. Like, no. I love Dez Bryant. I thought he had a great career. I remember wanting him in the draft the year they took Devin McCourty over him. I was desperate for Dez Bryant. Didn't happen. Great career, but he's done. Right? Like I don't think he's got anything left in the tank. I think they could still be interested in Antonio Brown, too, because Dez Bryant's basically going to be a free guy. You see if you have anything, and you could always use Dez Bryant with Antonio Brown and Hollywood Brown, and that could be your receivers, right, if he ends up being any good.
I think we're overthinking the wide receiver need a little bit, whether it's Fitzy, get Zuber out there, or go get this guy. For me, it's back to where we were with Jarrett Stidham. Find out if N'Keal Harry can play.
Yeah.
Like, force feed him the ball.
Yeah,
the ball.
Let's start by throwing him the ball.
Right. And if we find out he can't get open, I mean, I'm sure you guys listened to Fourier the other day when he eviscerated N'Keal Harry in Fourier's film room or breakdown, right, or whatever the hell he called it.
Film room?
It was basically angry Fourier.
Oh,
instead,
okay,
of angry Lou, you had angry.
Oh, they
worst
role reversal?
Route runner he's ever seen. Doesn't know coverages.
Wow.
Not only does he not find the open spots in coverages, he runs out of the open spots.
He has no clue on how to find the voids of coverages. He runs into coverage. and then part of that on the same time is partly Cam's fault. There was a one play where it was a play-action pass. N'Keal Harry just runs.
Do you have the start of that? Because the first sentence.
So the last play that Cam missed Harry on, can we put that on Harry, or is that still on Cam? I feel like people are split on that.
On Twitter, the film breakdowns I've seen have, for the most part, put the blame on Cam Newton on that one.
Yeah. Here's the first thing. Like, okay.
But didn't he run into the defense?
N'Keal Harry may be the worst route runner in the history of the
oh
world.
Oh, boy. So that would sort of be a point for Cam, I would imagine.
Yes, but you never know. This gets back to my PFF arguments
of
all time.
You're not in the huddle. You don't know.
You don't know. Because even in those situations, Bill calls those gotta have it. Cam might have said, listen, break the post off. He's doing that. Like, you never know what's going on in the huddle.
So put Fourier's take to this, or whether it was Cam's fault or Harry's fault to the side. Do you think Harry's even somebody that you'd want to run, say, an option route with? Because based on what Fourier is saying about, he's the worst route
runner. He won't
make
the right choice anyway,
okay, so
right?
Don't,
he's a bad decision maker.
But then
maker.
Don't. So simplify
that's
it even
what I'm
more.
Saying. If you're McDaniels,
more
you can't
slants,
do that. Yeah.
Fades. I don't care what you want to do, but let's figure it out. Let's get the field tape. Maybe you run slants, and it's like Houston a year ago where Brady threw the slant, and it deflected off and was almost picked, and Brady was like, okay, I'm done with that guy. You got to figure out at some point. I'm not on the Keyshawn plan of 4 years in. We'll decide whether N'Keal Harry can play.
No,
that seems a little
right?
large.
They have no receivers. No. He's a first-round receiver. He's young. He's big. I have my doubts. Dale knows this. I've had my doubts from
since day one.
The very first pass they ever threw to him in training camp.
I had my doubts.
And
when
Hart was out.
I was. I didn't even like the draft pick.
Well, I
wanted DK. I was in on DK.
But I also just thought this team swings and misses in the draft all the time. So, like, unfortunately, I don't have.
You can't stop drafting.
Well, you can.
No,
you can take another position and then you can trade for one because they've done better trading for one.
They weren't good at tight ends. Then they drafted Gronk and Hernandez. They weren't good at linebackers. Then they took Mayo. Like, you got to break the streak. You got to have a slump buster. Maybe he could have been the slump buster. Take a shot for it.
I just thought.
But now you have him. Use him. You can't have. So everybody in the world agrees the Patriots have no weapons, correct?
Yes.
And yet your second year first round pick was targeted twice, one of which was the last play of the game. That can't happen. Go for it.
I'm with
He's the guy you decided was good. Right. He has physical tools. You took first time Belichick took a receiver.
With you on that.
Get him the damn ball.
Right.
Right. That's on Josh. Find ways. As I said, push passes, end around, motions to swings to something. Get him the ball. And then maybe we can all decide.
Maybe he just sucks.
He's
done.
Right. Yeah. And then you can, he's not part of the future. He's not part of the present. Get him the damn ball.
Right.
And what happens from a Patriots perspective, if at the end of that, and they do all their film study, and they say, we targeted him 12 times, he had 2 catches for 8 yards, but that's all on Cam. What if they find that everything was on Cam on this?
Well, guess what? You've got your
then
decision.
Then you sell everything.
Well, do you believe that, though? Because when Bill was asked yesterday,
no way.
Bill, how has N'Keal Harry taken advantage of his extra opportunities?
He made a meal of that answer, though.
He didn't get to N'Keal Harry till the last sentence. He said, we as a team,
like
we need
everybody
more
else.
Reps and practice and everybody.
As a team, we need more time on a practice field.
Yeah, based on track record alone, Cam Newton has made more with less in his career, right? He's had Devin Funchess and Kelvin Benjamin and Corey
Cam
Brown
told us
and
that?
Ted Ginn.
He listed them all.
He did.
I had N'Keal and Harry in the past,
Whereas N'Keal Harry had half a year of Tom Brady and 5 games with Cam Newton so far, and he doesn't look like much. Now, I know there's been some injuries. I know there's been some issues and everything else, but too bad. That's the league's tough. A.J. Brown was in your draft class. That guy looks like an all-pro. D.K. Metcalf was in your draft class. Looks like an all-pro. Like, these guys are figuring it out.
And you don't have anybody. I would even add
the
– If you had Edelman in the prime
healthy
of his
Gronk.
Career and somebody else, you'd say, okay.
You might not get targeted.
We'll get to you when we need to get to you.
You need
right
to play.
Now, they have nothing. You're trying to win football games. You're trying to prove you can play in the NFL. It's now.
Right now, Damir Bird is playing more offensive snaps at wide receiver than anybody on the team.
He's their best receiver.
Sadly, that may be true.
He is. Right now, he is.
Because I don't think he's that good.
Well, you're probably right, but right now, he's been their best wide receiver.
And we've also seen, I keep going back to this, remember we got the reports out of training camp, they throw a lot of deep balls to Damir Bird, but they either usually fall on the turf or get picked off by the other team. Deep balls to Damir Bird haven't worked out. There was the interception
on the
underthrown one. Yeah, the underthrown one last week. Now, I'm not saying that's on him necessarily, but the idea of Damir Bird deep balls and Cam Newton and whatever's going on there doesn't seem to pay off. It's not worth it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Teddy Bruschi, when he was on OMF, did a little role play as if he were Antonio Brown talking about the Patriots. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.